Are you ready to know that artists are shameless with their experiences and they instead exploit them? Then you are in the right place. Welcome to Ugandan Art Speaks Out, a conversation that goes way beyond the story. I am your host, Linda Dina. This is a podcast that looks at performing artists, creative artists, poets, musicians, and all the other people in the art industry. We expound deeper into the tips, the tricks, and tactics priests of the invisible use to bring art to life. We share stories of art creation, right from conceptual development to final expression. We look at how they came to be in the industry, how they are living in the industry, and how they see themselves in the years to come. Let's dive into it. Here I am with the part two. It's me again, Linda Dina, with the sound guru. I found him shooting. They still had a busy day, but they've wrapped, and here we are, as we promised you. Hello, Mr. Adnan.
Hi.
A busy day still?
Yeah, it was, but we've finished.
When do you get to rest?
I'll rest when we're done with this.
Before we waste any more time, let's use this location that we are on and we finish it up. How do you see?
Okay, I think we can go and sit around there.
I know that there could have been people like you who have started as sound recordists and sound designers, but they've fallen out. So what strength have kept you moving up to this day that have made you hone the skill of you being a sound recordist or being a designer, and more than that, your strength?
The strength that keeps me moving is, I think, my background. My background, I lost my dad when I was 13. I can't go deep into that story, but because of what happened to me when I was young, I have that strength that pushes me. It tells me you are from a poor background.
So you need to work
harder.
You have to make it work.
Yeah, to make it work, you have to work harder. You have to work every day. You have to be...
Every day has to be better than
yes, every day has to be better than yesterday.
And maybe the ability to get to learn something new, to teach yourself. I think that's also
actually
strength.
Even that, like me, most of the time, most of the things I know today, I have discovered before I go to read about them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I discover, then I get to know about them, and then I'm like, hey, okay, now I know. So it's a learning curve that...
Because everyone learns.
Yes, every day. And me, I'm a student of the world. I've given myself to the world to teach me. That's why I've managed to make all these projects and to create better sounding projects, because I learn every day.
You accepted to learn.
I've never stopped to learn.
So as you continue to grow in that industry, are there people that you look up to this time? People that you see that I really want to work like this person, or this person really does something that I really like?
Unfortunately, I don't have anybody I look up to.
Oh, for real? How is that possible? Everyone you're going to ask, they already have like six people in mind. Like this one and this one and this one and this one that inspire me a lot. There's no one who inspires you? You inspire yourself, I suppose.
I think whatever I've done inspires me. So I'm my own inspiration.
You don't check out people's work, like, how
I do.
This one do it?
I do check out.
Maybe I can do it better than that.
I do check out other people's work. But I have always thought that I'm the first person to do this.
To do what you're doing.
Yeah, so I think that I'm the first person to do this. Then I look out on internet and there are lots of people. So I won't say I've never sat down and said, I'm inspired by this person. No. I think the environment that I've grown in, being that we have very little resources and we do what people in Hollywood are doing,
yes,
inspires me.
Your work inspires you.
My work inspires me.
What you are doing and what you do.
I do something today and I feel like this doesn't work. But when I listen to it again, I'm like, wow.
And when people listen to it,
and when people listen to it, they're like, this is a piece of work that is very...
It's really hard to compliment yourself as an artist. You're like, what I've done is really good.
I am very, very... I do a lot of criticism on myself. Because I want to do a lot...
Positive criticism or negative criticism?
Both. I never praise myself. I always think that what I have done is not good enough. You let work praise you. Yes.
Yeah. Our film industry has been on a gradual growth. You've seen we've grown from somewhere very far, very deep. We are at least somewhere. We can be seen by the whole world.
Yeah.
So what is the change in sound that you have seen from when you started? 2008 is not quite quite far away.
Our film industry has grown.
Starting from the equipment that you are using now and what you used to use before.
Yeah, there's a lot of growth. And I think this is attributed to the fact that there's internet. So the internet has opened
exposed
our
eyes.
Yes, we know that this is the latest equipment in sound that is big.
And you then you learn about it.
Yeah, you learn about it. There are so many platforms that are teaching. Unlike
in the past
where internet was very expensive. I used to sit with Abraham. Abraham is one of my friends, that old friends that we started with. Abraham Mugarura. We used to go to Makere. We had one computer we shared. So we used to go to Makere to go and download.
On Wi-Fi.
Because that Makere Wi-Fi was free. And it was fast during our time. So we go. We download tutorials of everything, sound. So we just downloaded off YouTube and we studied. We learned. I had a full terabyte of tutorials in sound.
I could say you spent a lot of time doing that. So how did you balance academics?
Okay, I finished school, but I never
graduated.
Picked my
transcript.
Those things that make you a graduate. I never filled in those things, but my transcript, I think, is out. I don't think the art industry would ask for your paper.
No, it's really about skill.
It's about the skill,
the talent,
so,
what you know. So let us look at the evolution of technology from what you're using now and what you used to use in the past. How has that changed? Of course, there's a change, I suppose. A lot of change.
A lot of things have changed due to technology. Yeah. I could say we have better recorders and cheaper recorders. Long time
ago. Oh, so the ones were expensive, the ones in the past?
The Nagra was so expensive.
So they made cheaper ones and better ones.
They are making cheaper recorders that are better and they have very nice preamps. You can record decent audio with these recorders. Technology has helped us a lot to compete with the international market. Yes, yeah. International market.
I guess they're more portable than the... Because usually things in the past are usually heavier.
So in the past you had to have a mixer, a separate mixer, and a separate recorder.
For every project, every day you are shooting, you're supposed to be having those.
A mixer and a recorder. Today, you have a mixer that is integrated into a recorder.
So and it's more portable to carry.
Yeah, and it's so portable to carry when it gets to the post-production. I'm happy to say that I've studied most of the technology and I would say I'm Dolby certified. So Dolby is a technology that helps us, the listener, the viewers, to experience immersive audio.
Like as though it is real.
As if it's real,
As though you are there.
So they have introduced a new form of technology called Dolby Atmos. And Atmos are speakers that you are all immersed into this sound. So you are like the person who is watching is in the sound.
You can hear the sound the way it is moving. Yes,
as if you are
in
that experience.
Have you used Dolby Atmos in any project?
Yes, I have done a film. I've mixed a film in Dolby Kafako.
That is so awakening. That is so informing. I didn't expect to learn all this today. So let us talk about more of you, besides the sound guru that you are. What more do you do besides being a sound?
Besides sound, I do have an organization.
You have an organization for real? What does it? What does it cater for?
It's a social enterprise. Yeah, that is a platform for artists.
Oh, for creative artists.
Creative artists, where they come and express. It's a free space where you come and express yourself.
Is this for professionals or any other person?
Any artist. It's called Omuti Creative. Omuti
Creative. Where is it located?
Omuti Creative with K, and it doesn't have the E at the end.
Well, creative, because so creative starts with C. So yeah. It is K-R.
So the K, the creative, is it's German.
It's a German word for creative.
Omuti is the Ugandan. So Omuti stands for tree. Yeah. So how do we come up with this whole organization? I started it with a gentleman called Williams Rogers Mpata Otako. He lives in German. So we met through art.
Okay.
And art was like our tree. And this art has brought branches.
Okay, see, so yeah, the formation of a tree. And these
are the people we are teaching.
These are the branches.
So that's why we call it Omuti Creative.
Oh, that is very creative.
Yeah, so we decided to name it that way because we feel like we are trees that have branched out.
Have bore fruits.
Yeah, we have bared fruits. At Omuti, we do a lot of things. Mostly social
arts that touch social issues. Art,
yes, that touch social injustices. For instance, we have the End Child Trafficking Campaign.
That is one of your projects.
That is one of our projects.
Child trafficking.
We have the film, community film project, where we do community films that change people's lives.
Why is, before we dive into that, why is Omuti Creative located?
Omuti Creative is located in Rweza.
It only focuses on Rweza or other parts of...
Our area of operation is for now is Rweza because right now we are not a funded organization.
It's a non-profit organization.
It's more of a non-profit organization, although we are allowed to do projects that... a commercial, yeah. So we have not yet gone out, but we are soon going out to the rest of the areas because what we do is not an. These are not only the only issues that affect the people in Rweza.
Yeah, they affect the whole people.
Uganda, the whole of Uganda.
But so for you, you started from here. You're going
started
to
from
grow. It's a tree, so it's going to grow.
It's a tree that will grow.
The roots will grow.
Omuti that
Omuti
will grow.
Creative, yeah.
So community film project is where we host interns from Makerere University. So it's kind of giving back to community.
To the community.
Yeah. So I happen to take them through. I bring them different people. Expose them to sets because I know having studied at Makerere they don't have the resources to create a set environment, a film set environment or a hands-on experience. So this is what I do. I make sure that we create a space where these students can come and learn film and we connect them to different film sets, different music video sets. They get to experience how the camera works, how sound works, how lights works, and so many other things.
Yes, because there are very many departments in film.
Yeah. And
then the theater?
The theater is mainly for the people in Reza, because when you go into these communities, you'll find that there are so many people who want to do art, but they have no any idea. So we bring them people, professionals, choreographers, theater directors, to direct them, to teach, it's called unlearning, to teach them new ways of doing things, professional ways of doing things. Yeah. So we have workshops for artists in Reza. They come, they learn how to dance in a professional way, how they can make money out of dance.
So do you take all ages, children?
Yeah, we have children, teens, young adults, women, we have old guys, border
people.
It
has no respect of person. Whoever it is can come there and be part of you. That is very good.
Yeah.
How has it impacted the people in Lweza? The theatre projects, theatre for development, how have they affected them?
You know, most of these people had no hope. They thought they could...
And people down there are creative, just that they have no way to show it to the people.
Yeah, most of these people had no hope. But the community theatre projects, the film... community film projects have helped the people of Reza
to express themselves,
to get that hope again. That
because art gives solutions.
What we do, people can watch, because we stage these theater dramas that they do. We stage them, and you'll be amused of how most of these people are. Excited to perform for the public. We had a show on the 27th of October.
This year,
yes. And this show was so amazing. Where was it? It was in our compound at the center. Yes. So we had a very good turn up of so many
people in the community and beyond.
And they learned a lot about, because their theme for this year was Kafira system. And a Kafira system is the system where they take people as slaves to the Arab world. You could see how it was articulated in the dramas that were
shown on that day. Yes. Staged.
Yes. So drama is very, very... important, and social work is giving back to me. It's like giving.
So let's look into it. How do you start this activism, the activism that you are talking about? And child trafficking is a big sensitive topic. So how did you come with it? How did you start?
I told you in the beginning I was working with Theatre Factory. So in 2012, we had to go to South Sudan, spend like 6 months in South Sudan doing disarmament programs.
That is what took you to do a disarmament project.
Yeah, so we were working with UNDP, South Sudan. Philip created dramas and radio dramas.
Radio dramas.
Yeah.
In what language?
In Juba Arabi.
That is what they speak there, so they don't speak English.
Yeah, that's what they speak. So we had to work with the South Sudanese, and some we had to learn little of that Arabic, because I was doing the editing by that time.
You had to get an idea of what they're saying.
I knew how to record, and we did all the dramas, most of the dramas, in the car, because there were no facilities.
And there was no war going on at that time.
There was war.
It was there, and
there was war going on in Nuba Mountains.
So you didn't do from Nuba.
And Yau Yau, the Yau Yau Rebellion. But we used to shoot, we used to record these dramas in the car. And sometimes you could be recording and then you'd be ambushed. They were so effective, and they impacted the people of South Sudan. By the time we left, we had collected like over 3,000 guns.
Oh my God, that was a lot. That means they had a lot of guns.
They had a lot of guns. So even the stage shows that we staged, people came with guns and put them on stage.
On stage.
Like, there was that beat where the actors had to sing,
mm-hmm.
bring back your gun. And then, because they had guns that were made out of wood, so they started raising them. The actors started raising them.
And,
and then put them on this center stage. So there was a show where guys came with their guns and then put them on the center stage. Real guns. And were like, wow. So all these things, looking at them, they gave me and William, they gave us, because we're working with William in Theatre Factory, they gave us an eye-opening.
To show you that art can be used anywhere.
Art can be used to do a lot of things that can change community.
Not as an extra co-curricular activity.
And then we started doing this.
Or even looked, as artists are also looked at, not in having the same reverence as doctors, as engineers. You do not have so much that can impact people. I think that's why we're not supported sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they think we don't have impact of the sort.
I think it's so hard. The last year we are not supported, because when you go to the bank and say, I'm a filmmaker, I want a loan, they won't give
you
a loan.
They won't give it to you?
Yes. Because they think you don't have
collateral. You're not going to pay.
You can't pay back. We don't have a proper structure. So these are the things, like the film industry is... that's why I think you see a person like Nkaka Patrick was asking for more. Because you're an actor, you don't have NSSF. You don't have... health insurance. You have nothing. Insurance. When you get sick, you'll see a lot of people, most of these artists get sick, they end up on radio crying, fundraising,
donations,
because there are no structures for the art industry. So, these are the things we are fighting for. Creating a center, creating a free space where artists can come and have a free voice, talk to people, create dramas. These things are the things that we are fighting for. We need to create structures for the art industry that will change everything.
I think it's really hard. People, filmmakers are saying, and musicians, artists, all performing artists, they're saying it's very hard for them to have a sale if they do any content, art content, that is not having love as its major theme, love as its major story. They cannot do social issues of race, of gender inequality. They cannot do anything of the sort, because they know it will not sell.
It won't sell. Sometimes doing such things...
Or they are coping from what is happening.
Such things, you have to have a big head. If you stick on doing... things like human trafficking, dealing with social issues, injustices, mob justice. You have a big head. You are telling stories that people don't want to hear. You get...
But people love listening to things that concern them, things that are about
them. They do concern them, but you will find it's so hard for Ugandans to create dramas about... issues like that, issues like human trafficking, issues like child sacrifice.
Maybe because they're looking at the money, they won't get money through the social
but
issues.
But slowly, people have started doing films that have that bit of social change. For instance, when you look at Tembede, it's about mental health.
Mental health.
Yes. So this is an issue. Like we have seen reports in the news saying that 14 million Ugandans
are mad.
Are mad.
And when it comes to mad, we've been made to believe that men do not break down. Men
That's true.
Are not mentally.
Because of our culture.
Yeah.
It's a very big problem that we have.
It's good to see that filmmakers are coming out.
They have started slowly. Slowly, people are going to start doing,
because we have
these
stories
things.
Here, indigenous stories that they can actually work on. We don't have to copy from.
We have a lot of stories that can change communities, but...
And create impact on the outside.
But very few people are doing this.
What do we need to do as filmmakers to put this right? To make sure that we are doing what is needed to be done.
I'm not a producer, but being in the film industry, I think it is important for us to understand that we also have compelling stories that can change the world.
Stories that belong to us.
Yeah, we shouldn't look at stories that are coming that are Western culture driven. We should tell stories of our own people. I think to change our industry is to focus all our energies to two things, two areas: directing and writing.
Storytelling.
Yes. We also need to go back and check where have we went wrong and how can we
correct. But we cannot stay at this pace that we are growing on. We need to do better than this.
We need to do better than this, we are doing better things.
Because we've gotten telling sound, we've stories, gotten ways, yes, we've gotten people that can actually work on sound, and the image, people, the visuals. But so we need the stories now. So that's, as we wrap up this, how do you manage to cut your time between being
A social worker
and then a sound guru and a lot of other things that you are doing that you're tearing yourself between? How do you manage to do this?
I manage to do all this because I love challenges.
You love challenges.
Yeah, so...
Every day comes with a lot of work and you have to do all of it.
A lot of work, a lot of goals, and you have to finish everything.
I think I can let you go and rest now. You have had a long day. Thank you for your time. We appreciate. And how can I forget that Omity Creative is a great sponsor of this podcast? We are here because he is. We are here because of what he's doing for us to be here. Thank you for listening in with me, Mr. Adnan. Do you have any last words for the people before you rush off to go and have...
I really don't have...
That was it. You're exhausted. You've had a very long day.
I say little and work more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, you've worked us up. I'm having a lot of information at the end of this episode. A lot of things that I've learned. Thank you for listening in with me again. I hope you are as amazed, equipped and inspired as I am. Like I told you, many amazing and iconic people like the sound guru that we had today are coming up every single episode. You're going to have people like this. In case you want to join me again for another episode of Ugandan Art Speaks Out, well, you have to follow my Instagram page and you have conversations with me and we talk, we see how more we can learn about our film industry, our art industry, and all the things in the art sector of Uganda. Thank you.